Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've provided Val to bring us a message today, Lord. We ask that the message would touch our hearts, that it would touch our souls, that we would open our ears and accept what you have to say to us today, Lord. And we're, again, so pleased and thankful that Val can bring us your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, it's definitely an honor to be here, but like I said before, I really wasn't singing like Rhonda, play like Barbara. I can get it all. Okay, let's say a little prayer. Lord, open our ears to hear and our hearts and our minds to understanding. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. My message today is on looking back. And the Hebrew word for looking back doesn't mean glancing over the shoulder. It means to pay attention to, looking wistfully with yearning. Now, most of us fondly look back on our childhood, growing up, the way things used to be, weddings, our children, and so forth. We also look back on unpleasant experiences or decisions we made, and some can't move forward. We relive it over and over again in our mind. In an interview with a New York Times reporter, Clifford Nash, a communication professor at Stanford University, said almost everyone remembers negative things more strongly and in more detail than positive ones. He goes on to say negative emotions generally involve more thinking and the information is processed more thoroughly than positive ones. We tend to reflect more about unpleasant events and use stronger words to describe them than happy ones. So what he's saying is, you and I, we can do all kinds of good things, but let us do one bad thing, and that would be remembered more than the good thing. So how can we tell if we're looking too much in the past? Well, according to an article from Huffington Post Healthy titled, Are You Addicted to the Past? By Tom Ferry, states there are six signs to that question, but I'll give you three. Number one is when we constantly talk about the past and the way things used to be. And number two, we resist change. And number three, we argue for the past that things used to be better. It's good to remember the past, but we weren't meant to live there. The Bible says he came to set the captive free. Now, let me be clear. There's nothing wrong with looking back and learning. The problem starts when we continually look back and live in the past. There are many stories and metaphors illustrating the damages that's done when we look back and live in the past. There's Lot's wife, Peter, and Moses. Lot's wife looked back when the angel told her not to. And she was turned into a pillar of salt. We see in this story disobedience, but also perhaps a yearning for the town she grew up in. And when Peter walked on the water, he took his eyes off Jesus, perhaps looking back, and he began to sink. Moses and the Israelite peoples are good examples of looking back. In Numbers 33, I counted 44 moves that they made during their journey. Most of us don't like to make one. We can tell that from when we moved over here. On my count from Exodus to Numbers, they complained about 14 times about getting back to Egypt and the way things used to be. Now, to some of us, 14 doesn't sound like much. But remember, there were thousands of them. Put that in perspective. In Exodus 14, verse 12, when Pharaoh had their backs to the sea, they said, Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. They were looking back. 2 months after leaving Egypt, Exodus 16, verse 3 tells us, they said, Would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full, For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And then in Exodus 17, verse 3, they said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? They were looking back. Now, according to Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, 2 years after leaving Egypt, the people were still looking back. 2 years. And in Numbers 11, verse 5 through 6, the people said, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. I'm getting hungry. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. They were reminiscing of the past, longing to be back in Egypt. The same thing that we do today. We say, oh, I remember when we used to do it this way. Or I remember when we used to do it that way. Or I remember. And after they got close to the promised land, they sent their spies out to canvass. And when the spies came back with their report, Numbers 14, verse 4 said, the people said to one another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They still kept looking back to Egypt. They were telling Moses, we're having nothing to do with this. We'll find our own way back to Egypt. But because of their murmuring and iniquities, God said they couldn't enter the promised land. Now, iniquities is defined as gross injustice, unfairness, wickedness, sin, and moral, grossly unfair behavior. After they were condemned to wander the wilderness, Numbers 20, verse 5 tells us the people still complain and look back. They said, wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And the last recorded complaint of the Israelite people is in Numbers 21, verse 5. They said, once again, very familiar, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathe this light bread, speaking of the manna. They still look back to Egypt during the 40 years around that mountain. Can you imagine hearing the same complaint and yearning for 40 years of your life? And husbands think they have it bad today. In Deuteronomy, Moses looked back and tells the story of the journey. But in the book of Deuteronomy or Joshua, you don't read about the people wanting to go back to Egypt. They all died in the wilderness except Caleb and Joshua. They all died not seeing the future God had for them because they kept looking back. And because of their iniquities, their yearning to go back, God couldn't do what he wanted to do with them. But he still saw where his plan would continue. He brought their children to the promised land. Are we willing to move forward so the Lord can do his will in our life? Let me quickly share with you some people in the Bible that didn't look back, but moved forward with God. When Moses left Egypt after killing the Egyptian, he didn't look back, but he was called back by God himself. He was content being the shepherd and the husband he was. And when Joseph was sold into slavery and became the second highest in the land of Egypt, he had all of Egypt at his disposal, and he could have went back to his father's house and say, hey, Dad, I'm home. But he didn't. Instead, he moved forward with his life. In fact, he named his firstborn son Manasseh, meaning, God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Joseph wasn't looking back. He was looking forward. And Paul, what can we say about Paul? We all know what Paul did before he was converted. He went around killing Christians. And if Paul looked back on his past, it would have been hard for him to live with himself or do God's will. And I believe Paul was standing on the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He went from Saul, the old man, to Paul, the new man. We are no longer a slave to the past when we are in Christ. Looking back on negative stuff in our past was washed away by the blood of Jesus. We are new creatures. There's a constant battle with the old self wanting to overcome the new. When we dwell too much in the past, it helps the old self win that battle. We are to look forward to the future by building up our new self. And in Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, it tells us to take off the old self and be renewed in the likeness of God. Yes, we do sin daily, but the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He will forgive us of our sins. Even Peter, I'm sure it was hard for Peter to live with the fact he denied Jesus 3 times, and he probably kept replaying everything over and over again in his mind. It's just like when we replay everything over and over again in our mind when we mess up in our lives. If Peter had continued to live in the past of dwelling on denying Jesus and couldn't move past that, he wouldn't have been able to do God's will either. And I know this lady, and she filed a lawsuit against her supervisor and lost the case. And she left that job and got promoted in another state. But she kept looking back over the wrong her supervisor caused her. I know the supervisor, and after I retired and reflected back, I had to go through my phase of forgiveness for the supervisor. For me, it wasn't an overnight forgiveness, but eventually it came. But this lady kept fighting the court decision. She would call me sometime, and the conversation always centered on the supervisor. I sensed in speaking with her, it was hard for her to forgive. It was a deep-rooted hurt. Finally, it took a toll on her. She lost a high-paying job, savings gone, and now she's homeless. Folks, nothing good comes from looking back and staying there. At some point, there must be some closure. There's a saying that goes, when God closes one door, He opens another. Another door was opened for this lady, but she kept looking back, unable to move forward. Many of us want to force that door open. It's like when an elevator shuts just as you arrive, but instead of pushing that button and waiting for the next one, you want to take your fingers and pry that door open? Well, guess what? It won't budge. It will open when it's time. God wants to move us forward, to leave the past in the past. Philippians 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Although the people complained and kept looking back to Egypt for their substance, God was forgiving. I know there was a time when He wanted nothing to do with them, but yet He forgave them. He still provided them with water and fed them with manna and quail. But God had much more in store for them in the promised land. But looking back and complaining stopped God from moving forward with them. In Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus says, "No man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." I know it's hard, especially when the mind is replaying it over and over again. I know how it is. I've been there. Forgiveness is a starting point moving forward. Forgiveness for others as well as ourselves. We must forgive. I mean, truly forgive. Not just giving it lip service and saying, "I forgive," but forgiving with the heart. You might have seen this story on the 700 Club hosted by Pat Robertson on the Christian Broadcast Network. A man has an argument with his wife one night. And the next morning, his wife asked for forgiveness, but he was still mad at her. And he goes off to work. And on the way home that afternoon, his brakes fail in the car, and he hit a tree and dies. The story goes on to say that He saw an angel which took him to heaven, and he saw all the saints and how beautiful it was in heaven. Then the angel took him to hell, and he saw the people in hell. And they came up to him, pleading with him to get them out. And they started confessing their sins. But one person said he was there because of unforgiveness. The man looked at the angel, and the angel tells him that this was his fate because of his refusal to forgive his wife. Of course, the man lives because he's telling the story. We want Jesus to forgive us of our sins, but we can't forgive others or ourselves. There's something wrong with that picture. When Jesus died on the cross, his words were forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If he can forgive after everything that was done to him, then who are we? In the Lord's Prayer, the King James Version states it this way, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the Complete Jewish Bible states it this way, forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. There's a saying that I like. It says, forgiveness is greater than vengeance and compassion more powerful than anger. It's from the movie of Joseph. God looks at the heart. He looks into man's heart and his deeds. What do we do with our hands, meaning our actions? He looked at the Israelites' hearts and saw it was not right. What about our heart? Is our heart right with God? He wanted them to look forward to him for their provision, but they kept looking back to Egypt. How about you? Are you looking back, living in the past? Job 17, verse 9 says, the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. God put our eyes in the front of our heads, not in the back. When we continue to live negative parts of the past and won't let it go, then we are no better than the Israelites. God didn't want them looking back. What makes us think he wants us to look back? In Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, from the Contemporary English Version, it says, it isn't wise to ask why is everything worse than it used to be. So in conclusion, God wants to move us forward in our lives. But he asks each of us, what do we have for him to work with? For example, Moses had a staff. David had a slingshot. Joseph had his dreams. And Jeremiah, his mouth. And in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, Jeremiah told God he didn't know how to speak. And the Lord reached out his hand and touched his mouth. Moses told God the same thing. He didn't know how to speak. And God sent him Aaron. These two stories where they told God they couldn't speak show that God always make a way. Everyone has something to work with that the Lord can use to expand on this earth, expand his kingdom on this earth. What do you have that the Lord can work with and multiply? God is asking us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 through 19 to remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I know I want to be counted righteous in his eyes, and I will strive to look forward to be more forgiving and compassionate. And with that, may we pray. Father, we thank you for being with us today and every day. We thank you that with each new day, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in all we do. Father, create in us a clean heart to forgive the past and move forward with what you have called us to do. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is new every morning, and you shower that mercy upon us daily. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, amen and hallelujah.